All right, let's talk a little Fantasy NASCAR, episode 147. What's going on in the world of Fantasy NASCAR? First of all, we've got probably 70, 60 days, I'm not really sure, until the Clash. And if you really want to make good picks, Fantasy NASCAR-wise, for the Clash, of course you can drop the $5 and get access to the spreadsheet. When I roll it out, it's going to be a while until I release that. Come on, guys, we've got 60 days. There's no point in getting to that now, but some of you say, well, why do I even want to do that? It's just the Clash. Well, then don't. No big deal. But if you do want to have access to the spreadsheet and see the past results, practice times probably aren't going to matter. I'll give you that. But if you just want to look at past results, past trends, also in the spreadsheet, probably have access to a tab that'll let you easily kind of do your own projections. You'll just punch in where you think somebody will finish, and it'll calculate what the score will be, what the FPPK will be for each driver, give you an idea, or just play guys in the back. But really, my strategy, if you really want to have a good idea what will happen with the Clash, is to watch the past Clashes on YouTube. I'm sure they're up there. I mean, I know every other race is on YouTube. I got to imagine that previous year's Clash races will be on there. And do the old settings trick. Go down in the bottom right corner of your YouTube, click on the gear, and do the playback speed and put it at 2x. You don't need to sit around and watch the hour and a half, 2 hour long race. Put it at, you know, save yourself a lot of time. That's usually a really helpful thing that I like to do. If I want to watch a previous year's race, put it at 2x speed and watch that thing just fly by. And probably with the Clashes, you can do a lot of fast forwarding too. One thing you could also do, I don't know if Racing Reference has the wrecks, but usually, I mean, for every other race, they'll tell you when the wrecks occur. So that'll let you know if, hey, I can just go ahead and fast forward through the first 50 minutes of this race because nothing's going to happen. But you can look at the Racing Reference page and find out when exactly the wrecks happen. Watch the race at 2x. Watch the last couple years worth of the Clash and find out when does that big wreck happen. Who's getting involved in that big wreck? That'll help you make some picks. But for the most part, when we're talking about the Clash, you just play the drivers in the back anyway. You got a small pool of players to pick from. Hard to differentiate, especially when everyone's just playing guys in the back. So maybe you take some guys in the front. I haven't really looked at the numbers yet. Looked at the trends. But for the most part, I believe it's the guys kind of starting. Well, first of all, you just want to pick guys, six guys that finish the race. We'll get the job done. So there's some Clash talk for you. What else is happening in the world of Fantasy NASCAR, or just NASCAR in general, or things I want to talk about here on the podcast? Race for the Prize, Fantasy NASCAR Podcast. DFSNotes.com is the main hub where you can get information. I don't know how much stuff I'll put up at DFSNotes.com. Obviously, you can link to the podcast. The podcast will be on iTunes soon enough, or you can go to Fantasy NASCAR podcast.blogspot.com, fantasynascarpodcast.blogspot.com. Bookmark that. You don't want to type that in all the time. Or you can just access it on iTunes, which soon enough the podcast will be there. And I will talk podcast stuff or NASCAR stuff. Bob Pockrass is fired. I thought he was going to do the next year, but it looks like he's not going to be around in 2019. And I know the NASCAR community is a little upset. I know Reddit is upset, whatever. But as I've told you before, these NASCAR journalists aren't excited about their lives. I'm sorry, but they're not. And it's probably a good thing for Bob Pockrass to move on. Bob Pockrass was probably the best writer. No one's going to deny that. And the most dedicated guy. And I liked reading his stuff. But what I really liked about what Bob Pockrass did, it's Pockrass, is his dedication to NASCAR, but his Twitter feed. I could rely on old Bob for some good information on what was happening. Did I read his articles? No. I didn't read his articles, and that's the problem. And that's probably, you could look yourself in the mirror and say, yeah, you did that too. Everybody out there listening, you didn't read Bob Pockrass's articles. You don't read Jeff Gluck's articles. You don't read Chris Knight. You don't read Jenna Fryer. You don't read Jim Utter. Maybe occasionally you'll pop it up and look it over, but you don't, because it does not help you in terms of Fantasy NASCAR, and really doesn't help you in terms of NASCAR. They don't really cover anything other than the stories that you already know, the stories that you've already seen with your eyes. That's the problem with NASCAR journalism. They're not telling you anything. You look at the NFL, and you look at the boom of the NFL and MLB and NBA. They've gone into the analytics. They break down the plays. They look at every single player. They actually analyze what is happening. They've changed the way that they report stories. NASCAR hasn't. NASCAR still will just talk about, hey, Kyle Busch, he's a good guy, or this is his sponsor, or hey, here's what's going on with his team, but they never actually break down, hey, what did Jamie McMurray do during the race? How did his race go? How did his pit stops go? How did his pit cycles go? Where was he running on lap 250? Where was he running on lap 120? You don't know. And the journalists will not bother to let us know. They don't focus that. They focus on your top drivers, and they tell you a story about big three. Okay, we're tired of Kyle Larson's good at this track. Okay, well, tell me what's specifically happening during the race. There are 40 races in a year, and I don't even know what's happening in each race. Young guns. That's why these guys are getting fired. 12 questions. Hey, what's your favorite style of peanut butter? We don't care. I like Jeff Gluck. I like these guys' dedication, but they're missing it. And I've several times through DraftKings. See, DraftKings wants to get me to talk to the traditional media and convince them to cover Fantasy NASCAR more so that they can draw more people in. And so the PR team, they've hired various different ones, and they've had me go and in person and in phone calls talk to these guys and try to, you know, communicate the DraftKings message to get them to push the DraftKings message to bring more people to it. And it's always a waste of time because I talk to these traditional guys. And they don't want to do it because they just want to do what they've always done. They want to sell narratives. They want to write the same journalistic stories every single time. Joey Logano was a Connecticut kid whose family moved to blah, blah, blah. And he went through hard times at Joe Gibbs Racing. And he's been through blah, blah, blah. And last year his team missed the playoffs and now he's the champion. No one cares about that story. Break down the races. What happened? Why did Kyle Larson not win? Why did Joey Logano win the race? But even beyond that, what did Austin Dillon do during that race? What did everybody else do during that race? What was Jimmy Johnson doing lap by lap? Could you at least tell us? What was the strategy? What was the setups on the cars? Why did it work for somebody? Why didn't it work for someone else? Heaven forbid you break it down. And you don't have to be completely analytical, but you could at least let us know what the 40 cars are doing during the race. Let us know what's going on. But you can't be bothered to cover that because you're too busy talking about, oh, Furniture Row Racing shutting down. Let's talk about that story. How about you talk about the actual racing? And that's why these guys are losing these jobs. That's it. That's why. There's nothing else to it. I think Bob Pockrass did good work in terms of his Twitter analysis that helped me out in Fantasy NASCAR. But I never read those articles. And you don't read those articles. They're all going to get fired. And all of them, most aren't even getting paid. I've talked to these guys and I've told them the last 3 years, every time they bring it, hey, you need to talk about stats. You need to try to tell the stories of what's happening with the drivers. You need to talk to the crew chiefs. You need to give us the information that the people die for in the other sports. That's why we're watching. Otherwise, we don't care. We can see the storylines with our own eyes. We don't need you to do that for us. It's not 1988. We have access to that already. We can get that on our own. Just tell us what's happening during the race. Is it too much to ask? So I'm sorry Bob Pockrass lost his job, but I'm sure he's going to go on to better things if he gets out of NASCAR. Get out of NASCAR, Bob. You don't need to do this. Take your journalistic skills and credentials to something else. I don't know what that would be. Seems like no one cares about the media anymore anyway. If you can do cover politics, that's not a good move. I don't know. Tough times to be in journalism. So another story is the salary cap. Looks like it may be coming to NASCAR. NASCAR's agreed, or at least the teams have agreed, to allow auditing of their finances. So NASCAR's going to have an idea of, well, what people are spending and how they're spending it. And with that information, they can then compare it and then try to come up with an idea or some baseline or guidelines of, all right, so we should only spend this amount of money on engines. You can't really come up with a salary cap in sports unless you know exactly what people are spending. You find out Joe Gibbs Racing is spending X amount of dollars on brake technology, whereas Chip Ganassi is spending a fraction of that. You can compare the different teams and find out, all right, here's what you guys need to spend on brakes. Here's what you should be spending in the wind tunnel. Here's what you should be spending on engineers. Here's what your pit crew salaries should be if we want to keep this thing somewhat reasonable and not bankrupt everybody. But so the first step has happened and the teams have agreed to an audit. Now, if you read the Twitter feed for that story, you'll find out that some people are saying, well, now it's just going to be teams trying to cover their expenses. And that's true, that could be happening, people covering what they're spending money on. But I believe that the teams are to the point now where they're all bankrupt. Almost. They lose money every year. That they're all just going to say, fine, here's what we're spending. Fix us. Save us. We're tired of spending ourselves into oblivion. The Cold War. This is like the Cold War if everyone were Russia. That's what NASCAR is with the spending. It's a good first step. Don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. We've done that before, thinking that, oh, NASCAR's made a low downforce package. It's going to save everything. That was 2015. Nothing changed. Oh, NASCAR created a high downforce. Didn't work. Oh, we got the All-Star package. Didn't work. Oh, we're going to dial just giddies. Let's not get ahead of our skis on this one. But I am happy. That has been one of the big issues that I've been pushing for the last couple years, is you need a salary cap. You need cost reduction. You look at ARCA. ARCA spends 1/10 of what NASCAR does. And you're going to tell me that the ARCA product is 1/10 worse? If ARCA was racing in front of a stands full of people, then you would think it was amazing. You just know that it's empty stands and they're no-name drivers. Well, the drivers that you have in NASCAR right now are no-name guys. And Daniel Hemric. Daniel Hemric is your star. Get out of here. I like Bubba Wallace, but he's not a star. Austin Dillon's not a star. Ty Dillon's not a star. Corey LaJoie is not a star. I can keep on going. Jamie McMurray, who's not even with us, not a star. Kurt Busch was a star. He ain't no star anymore. Who's the big names? They don't exist. William Byron? These guys are not stars. These guys might as well be ARCA drivers. Really, face it. Think about it. You got Kyle Busch. Cool. Awesome. Great driver. Martin Truex Jr.? I mean, it's not him. It's his team. It's his car. He was a good driver, but he's not a star. You don't turn your TV on to watch Martin Truex Jr. It's a good team. It's a good car. It's a good crew chief. They could do what ARCA's doing. Speaking of Kurt Busch, he's going through the one car, and I expect one car results. 10th to 15th place from here on out. I mean, that's what Kurt Busch was already doing. He had kind of elevated his game to a 5th place driver over the last year, but a lot of that was because Stuart Haas Racing had really, really, really good cars. And even with elite cars, he couldn't win. Well, he won at Bristol. But, I mean, he led, 20 laps in that race. So I would expect Kurt Busch to be just like Jamie McMurray. Probably worse, because you put Kurt Busch in 10th to 15th place car, he can't deal. Jamie McMurray would deal with it and accept it and go out there every day and do what he had to do and move along. Kurt Busch is going to turn into the Phoenix Racing Kurt Busch, who, or the Penske Racing guy who got himself thrown off those teams. Just wait, we're going to see. We've seen the mature Kurt Busch over the last couple of years. People have always complimented, man, Kurt is so mature. He's finally got together. Yeah, because he's in a good race car. Put him in a pile of garbage and let's see what happens. Blake Koch, some Xfinity Series, I mean, just the new stuff that's coming out. Blake Koch's in the JD Motorsports car, and who cares? Well, actually, I mean, because we do play Fantasy NASCAR in the Xfinity level, it is somewhat relevant. There were times where, even when Ross Chastain was not in an elite car, he was still in play when his price was down at specific tracks, just because you had to fill out an Xfinity roster. And I would say Blake Koch is a 15th to 20th place car. If there's cup drivers, you probably bump him closer to 20th. No cup drivers, he's closer to 15th. He's clearly not as good of a car as he was in with Kulig Motorsports or Kalig Motorsports, the 11 car, which seems to now be a pay-for-play or whatever. You had Ryan Truex, you had Cook, and now this year, Kulig or Kalig is going to have... who was jumping into that car? Is it Justin? I think it's Justin Haley, if I'm correct. So great for him, whatever. Doesn't really matter. That's usually another overpriced Xfinity race car. That you really did not want to play Ryan Truex last year. And Blake Koch did a little bit better, I believe, than what we saw from Ryan Truex. Anything else in the NASCAR world that I want to talk about? I talked about Pockross and the side cap. Gave you some clash advice. Kurt, we don't know what's happened with Suarez. We'll assume that he's going to go to the 41 car, and good luck with that. I'm sure that's another just sponsorship deal, bringing a sponsor with you so you get to have a car. I don't know. Suarez, Trevor Bayne, read, though, that he was interested in, he's willing to take offers in any of the three series, and that's pretty cool. Junior Motorsports has an open ride. You know, they lost Elliott Sadler and Tyler Reddick, who somehow won a championship. That's one of the problems with NASCAR, is that the championship is decided at Homestead, which clearly favors dirt track racers. That's really bizarre to have a champion. Although everyone likes watching races at Homestead, but it's really goofy to have a unique track determine the champion. It would be like So if you had the Super Bowl at someone's home stadium, it really is. To give that kind of an unfair advantage to Tyler Reddick, who's a dirt track racer, just runs up against the wall and wins the race when he does nothing the entire season. If you're like letting the Patriots play at home in January for the Super Bowl or February, that would be ridiculous. You wouldn't do that. You need a neutral site. So you need a neutral track. Put one of those boring intermediate tracks. Or just change the track every season. I don't know. That's a rant for another day. But either way, Reddick's gone. That car, one of them's going to go to Gregson, but the other one was Sadler. We don't know. It would be really cool to see Trevor Bayne. Trevor Bayne could win a championship. But, I mean, again, Trevor Bayne taking a step down. That might as well be another year of Sadler. That's another year of Allgaier. That's another year of Mike Lynette. The Xfinity Series is, it's not even a minor league series anymore. It's a lot like, if you're thinking minor league baseball, it's more like Pioneer League. You get these washed up guys. This is not a developmental league whatsoever. This is just another, might as well be ARCA. At least ARCA has people who are building their way up and the guys trying to develop their skills. It's not people hanging on and that are just out there. I hate when they try to develop the Xfinity Series or even the Truck Series as a developmental. It's not. You tell me Johnny Sauter is trying to develop, Matt Crafton is trying to develop. These guys are not, David Gilliland is trying to develop. Sure, you got some young guys, but they're just young guys. I don't know. That's another rant that no one wants to hear. So there it is. There's your first taste of me just rambling on about fantasy NASCAR. You can check out DFSnotes.com. We'll get you some of the information to direct you towards the spreadsheets and the detailed information. $5 a week, unless we come up with another plan. Who's we? I don't know. Anyone that contacts me, if they have got an idea. I don't really have an idea at this point, but fine. Just you hit me with a PayPal, and I'm sending you over access to the sheet. That definitely works for me, as long as it doesn't become too crazy. And if it does, then I'll just stop doing it, because there aren't any long-term subscriptions at this point. At least not really planning on doing it that way. Looking forward to the 2019 NASCAR. So we had the Snowball Derby last week, and I always want to watch it, but I don't want to pay to watch a driver that's in superior equipment win. It happens every year. Eric Jones wins. Congratulations, he's in the best car. Kyle Busch wins. Congratulations, you're competing against people in inferior equipment. I believe this year Noah Gragson won in superior equipment. Awesome. What are we doing here? I mean, it's cool that these big-name drivers are running the Snowball Derby in Pensacola and in adding some extra publicity, but it's not really. The diehard race fans are already, they know about it and they watch it. You're not really drawing any new eyeballs by these guys going into these races. It's not increasing attendance. All it's doing is you're taking your money and your sponsor and you're going and stealing wins from people that deserve it. Yeah, but this is how Eric Jones made a name for himself. Shut up. Get out of here. Please stop. Stop. Just don't. People knew who he was before that. God. You don't really believe that, do you? You know, I really believe that dirt track racing is going to be the next NASCAR. I'll talk more about this probably in the next podcast or so, but I mean, you look at the roots and the outlaw roots and the less regulation and the races all over the country at all different times during the week, and not necessarily disorganized, but just this spread out, kind of ubiquitous, popular form of exciting sold-out racing without really a lot of corporate influence and TV narratives driving the sport and drivers kind of just living their lives and not, you know, these commercialized corporate honks. Guys that have regular jobs. If you really look at what roots of what NASCAR was, at least as they tell us in the books, then it really feels like dirt racing is that story. And at what point does it completely just people say, you know what? We don't. I mean, there's a lot of people who already given up on stock car racing, and all they really care about is that grassroots racing. Who knows? Until next time.